My husband, the Reverend Richard Messandaley, is here today. Someone asked me in December when Richard got ordained, do you feel closer to God now that you're married to a pastor? Yeah. It's pretty awesome, isn't it, Julie? We'll keep that as our signal. But Richard, I was sitting by Richard, and he said, if I were preaching today and you were offering me advice, which is code for, here's some advice I'm about to give you, I would like you to tell me to calm down a little bit. I was so excited. My parents are here. Joe and Amy Metzen are visiting today, and my friend Melissa is here. Melissa Israel, the one who wrestles with God, is here, and her daughter Maggie, and my friends Tony and Elise are here. I don't know if there's other visitors that are here just for me, but I get really energized by seeing the people that I love, and also maybe a little energized by the fact that I don't have to go downstairs today. get to spend time around with the grown-ups. So bear with me if I'm a little hyper. As I preach, I will try to take my husband's advice and calm down. But it's really great to see all of you who are here this morning on what Pastor Will, when he asked me if I would preach, said, hey, Katie, would you take low attendance Sunday? I also know that the Sunday after Easter is known as Associate Minister's Sunday, or I like to call it the Junior Varsity Squad. I joke, but it is really an honor and a privilege to be in this pulpit and to be able to open God's Word with you, and I believe God has a word for us today. So I'm a squeamish person. I don't know if any of you know this about me or not, but I am a fairly squeamish person. And when I was in fourth grade, I decided I wanted to learn how to cook. So I went through my mom's Betty Crocker cookbook, and I found a recipe for porcupine meatballs, which doesn't actually use porcupine as the meat, but uses rice. And so then as the rice cooks, it pokes up, and it looks like the porcupine spikes. But I'm a squeamish person, so I emptied the package of hamburger into the bowl and poured in the rice, cracked the egg and the seasonings, and then I just froze. Because I didn't know how I could possibly, I didn't know what to do in order to mix the meat and to shape the meatballs without actually touching the meat. But I'm still, I was trying to remember, Mom, did I make you do the mixing for me, or did you make me mix it myself? Do you remember? Yeah, I think she just made me put my hands in it. But I was, like, frozen with fear because I didn't like to touch meat. That was just too much. My sister Laura is 2 years younger than me, and after our parents would go to bed on Saturday nights in high school, we'd watch Saturday Night Live, but and for some reason Laura always had control of the remote, or at least that's how I remember it. That's probably not actually true, but how I remember it is Laura always had control of the remote, and on the commercial breaks she would switch to some channel. I don't know if it was Discovery or TLC or what, but they would every Saturday night, this channel would show medical shows with footage from actual surgeries. I feel a little bit like I'm going to be sick now just thinking about it, but I didn't want to leave the room because I wanted to see like the next SNL skit, but I would curl up on the couch and put the pillow over my face and kind of whine and scream at my sister to change the channel, but she never did. Because that's what little sisters do. I admire people who aren't squeamish. And I've gotten a little better. Richard can tell you that I can now cook a meal with meat without throwing up. And You know, I, as a children's minister, I've cleaned a lot of scraped elbows and knees. I said my friend Tony is here. He's an EMT. I would make a terrible EMT. I still would make a terrible EMT. I'd make a terrible surgeon. I'd make a terrible butcher. Those just aren't the career paths for me. But I admire people who aren't squeamish. And in a lot of churches, I don't know if you guys all know this, most of you probably do, we have something called the Revised Common Lectionary. And it's a schedule of different stories that if you go to 95% of the Methodist or Lutheran or Anglican or Catholic or Presbyterian churches around the country today, they're all teaching this story.